Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Okay, let's talk to Craig Bolanos then, the co-founder and wealth advisor at Vest Gen Wealth Partners. Their new website is GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Hi, Craig.
John, great to be with you, and how wonderful it is to see the Dow up 600 points after a week of tariff chaos.
Well, that's the glasses one quarter full. I'm happy that you're optimistic. What's that all about?
Well, I am optimistic because so far the sentiment, how we all feel, is terrible. I was reminded of that again in the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. But while the feelings are bad, and how can they not with the ping pong ball being batted back and forth so quickly, the data is still good. And if we're going to make decisions that are repeatable, data-driven decisions is where people should be. This doesn't look like a recession. This is just a correction in the stock market.
It's interesting because the reason that the market went down, though, wasn't fear over a continuing resolution. It was over tariff wars and other unpredictable things out of the administration that we may have a budget now. To me, doesn't fix all of the other things that have caused the market to go down. You see what I'm saying?
Well, no, it doesn't fit. I mean, listen, let's look at the positives, though, this week, because the positives are just overshadowed by policy chaos on trade. I mean, earlier this week, we got the consumer price index, and guess what? It went lower. Thank you. I'm happy about that. The very next day, we got the producer price index. That's wholesale prices versus consumers that are retail, and it didn't grow. And if the inflation can come down, that means the Federal Reserve can give us those rate cuts we want later this year. And then people, as you and I talked about just the other week, we start trading bunk beds for bedrooms, and that'll be wonderful. And I've got another list of positives. You just mentioned one. We got the bill out of the House. It's sitting in the Senate. They're going to vote. I think this is going to pass, and we're going to avoid a government shutdown.
How do these trade policies not raise inflation?
Well, you know what? Right now, the needle is bouncing back and forth so much that everybody knows. I've been on your show. I like free markets. I love free men. I like free women. I don't love all of this trade intervention. Certainly, we understand that when you put tariffs on things, it's going to cost people more money. I mean, I jokingly said I'm worried about getting margaritas and other things that come from Mexico. I mean, who doesn't like a good chip and guac on a Friday to celebrate when the workday is done? That stuff is going to be more expensive based on where we're heading. But because nothing is finalized and nothing is definitive, I'm not spending too much time losing sleep yet.
Well, a lot of people are. So you don't think these tariffs then are going to be true?
I think there is truth in the tariffs. I think what's happened is we don't know what the end goal of the policy chaos is yet, and I don't know where it's going to settle. When I look back at Trump 1.0, I mean, I'm unhappy about what's going on, John. Let me be clear about that. But when I look back on Trump 1.0, that was 2018 and 2019, the tariff or trade war with China, looking back at it, it ended up being good because we ended up onshoring components into the United States. We ended up nearshoring components to the United States, and we were being taken advantage of. This one is so chaotic because it's not just us in one country, it's us in Canada, us in Mexico, us in everybody. And no, I don't know where it's going to end.
And what's the sense of the Canada thing?
You know, I've never seen anything as crazy as I saw this week. You had that post on Truth Social by the president saying we're going to double the tariffs on steel and aluminum to 50% on midnight. And then in response to that, an hour later, you had Ontario call America and say we're going to jack the price on electricity, which would adversely affect three states in the continental U.S. And then 2 hours and 40 minutes later, everyone walked everything back, both in the U.S. and Canada. Yeah. So where are the grown-ups in the room, John?
Well, I must tell you, I don't care if they do that. Maybe that's the way these things go. That might be the way you and I negotiate the cost of a used car. Oh, yeah, well, I'll give you this. Well, you give me that. Well, then what about this? No, that thing's no good. All right, I'm going to do this. I don't want them to do that with the world's economy and my savings in public. Do it behind closed doors. It's not that they're doing it. It's that everybody's watching them do that. If they ultimately come up with a plan and it makes sense and we're better, hooray for that. But the watching and hearing them make the sausage is so unsettling to the markets. And maybe everything will recover. You know, if we can get 3,500 points back on the Dow this summer, I'll be glad. But you can understand why I'm pessimistic about that right now.
Oh, I understand, because you feel terrible, as do most people feel terrible, that sentiment, because we're watching this unfold publicly as opposed to having it unfold privately. But I think, again, that if we look at a couple of positives, and I'm not trying to see the world through rose-colored glasses, John. I'm just being sincere. When was the last time you saw a recession when we've had 49 consecutive months of job growth? Just did 151,000 jobs last month. When was the last time you saw a recession without widespread earnings cuts? Haven't had that. And when was the last time you saw a recession when the consumer was still spending? We learned last week it was 3% up year over year, and that's adjusted for inflation. And if we get some policy positives, that's tax cuts getting extended, the ongoing deregulation, the CPI and PPI data means the Fed put is still in place. And I have to think, I'll close with this, I don't think that some of the people in the administration, specifically our Treasury Secretary and Secretary of Commerce, which are hedge fund and Wall Street guys, I don't think they want to kamikaze the U.S. economy. I just need to get the president out of our way.
We're talking to Craig Bolanos, and I won't describe his disposition as sunny or rosy. He said he doesn't like necessarily what's happening. He said he doesn't like what's happening in Washington, but he's optimistic about the health of the economy. So when do you think then we'll see the indices recover, Craig, or are you in the prediction business?
John, I don't mind being in the prediction business. I mean, I wouldn't do your show if we didn't have strong opinions. So this is not a bear market. Bear markets tend to have these bottoms, these one-time events where it's baby out with the bathwater, everything gets sold. This is a correction. And in corrections, it's much more of a controlled process. And that controlled process of the correction is we've been hovering plus or minus 5,600 on the S&P. That's that 10% declination. I think we're going to churn sideways now through April 2nd. We'll have some rallies, some fits and starts like we've seen, but we need to get past that April 2nd deadline of reciprocal tariffs in order to really move forward and see where we're going.
It's funny, because I imagine a correction would be somewhat based on fundamentals, and this is not based on the fundamentals at all. This is a self-inflicted wound, and I don't know if that gives me cause to feel good or bad. That is, just as surely as we've shot ourselves in the foot here, so too could, as you said, us get some adults in the room, and we will stop talking this nonsense. We'll figure out what the trade policies are going to be, and then things will recover. But what would give one pause is that, in fact, Donald Trump's going to be president for 4 years. And I don't know that we're going to get that sort of adult behavior that the world economy needs. So I appreciate what you're saying, but you can understand why anybody would be pessimistic right now.
Oh, I do. You have to appreciate, as do I, the negative scenario. It's right for people to feel and want to be more cautious. It's right for people to want to brace for continued volatility. But this negative scenario, the R word, the recession word, it's not a foregone conclusion. And the actual facts on the economy and earnings are hanging on as such. And that's why I think the right strategy for people is to make sure they came into the year with a retirement plan. They have enough money, safe assets, money markets, CDs, treasuries, bond or other type of fixed income assets, and allow themselves to go through the equity process, which is what, if you invest, the fee for investing is really just having to sit through these temporary declines, and that's what this appears to be.
So what are you telling your clients about their money management then?
Here's what I'm telling everybody. I'm telling everybody the reason that we have cash flow reserve accounts, enough money in fixed income treasuries and high yield money markets to cover our monthly income, is exactly for times like
right.
this. Because
right.
once you get retired and stay retired, capital preservation matters for that part of the money that you're going to spend for the foreseeable future. And then I remind people of why we're investing for income. That's dividends, that's interest payments. It's fantastic. But then I remind everybody that, hey, volatility, and that's what we have now, is like a toll. And it's the price that we pay to generate and compound our wealth over time. So let's not forget what got us here was investing in great companies of America. Let's not abandon that for the next 20 years of our retirement.
But new money going into investments now, would you buy stocks or would you buy bonds?
I would buy what the portfolio needs to accomplish its objective. Yes, I said that. I'm not hedging my answer, John. Yeah. If some, but no, but let's talk about this. John, there are so many people that after 2 years, 2023 and 2024, of just riding the FANG stocks, right, the Magnificent Seven stocks, that's the only thing in their portfolio. This should be a dose of reality for those people who were grossly overweight to technology and technology only. As this market rebounds, I don't know how long it takes to get back to where we were, but those people should be looking to sell off some of those tech stocks into strength and re-diversify. Likewise, if somebody somehow missed the rally of the last 2 years, which is inexcusable, this is a great time to go ahead and pinch yourself and say, gee, I probably ought to take some of the money out of my money market or CD, because you can't hide out at 4% forever. Because I got news. I think interest rates will go down, and hence some people should buy.
But you also, yeah, you think this is a buying opportunity right now.
I do. For someone who's a long-term investor, this is a buying opportunity, but it can be a buying opportunity in different places. I mean, number one, think about geography. You and I talked about that geography lesson a couple of weeks ago on your show, John. I mean, you have European stocks, emerging markets that are up. That is a trend that might actually be durable this time after U.S. markets outperforming from the spring of 2010 all the way through 2024. It might be a sea change. That doesn't mean U.S. stocks have to lose. It just means people should look at their geography and get some dollars invested on the other side of the pond.
And one last thing, you're not real bullish then on tech stocks right now, or is this a good time to go back in?
I think people need to be investing where innovation resides, because innovation creates disruption, and that's a long-term investable thematic. And that is going to lead you to places like technology. But we also have to accept, so yes, be a buyer of tech, but be a buyer of non-tech. I mean, generative AI isn't just a tech story. It's an everything story. Think of how it's going to transform and improve earnings in non-tech companies like healthcare, industrials, and financials.
Yeah.
So follow the movement. That's what people should be doing.
That's Craig Bolanos. He's the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. The website is getretiredstayretired.com. Okay, Craig, really interesting. Thanks for your help today.
Great to be with you, John.